So am I still waiting, waiting a long time,
waiting for tonight. Oh.
Listen to Revolume.
I got a theory. Call me crazy, call me nuts. But I'm just thinking that Neidhart was out there in Brett's corner, and possibly the only motive that he had being in Brett's corner was to make sure that the Hitman didn't lose his title to Diesel, but he's hoping that the Rocket will beat the Hitman. I don't know.
Oh, wait a minute.
No, I don't know.
Let me ask you a question. Ready? Did you two guys act like that in the ring when you were wrestling?
Do you think the Anvil is that smart, Randy? I know.
Welcome to Review Away, everybody. It's John Volek here along with Wei Ting.
Yep.
And Wei, today's Review Away brought to you by Schweppes Ginger Ale and the new holiday-themed McDonald's coffee cup.
Yeah, I'm drinking a coffee and you're drinking a Schweppes Ginger Ale. Are you, is this a recent phenomenon?
Well, we'll get into it later, because one person actually had a comment that they didn't
really
care too much about my coffee stories.
Ooh.
But I'll save it for that answer.
Okay.
I'll talk all about it. But this one, you had to pay for this coffee, right? The free preview is over for free coffees. Free preview. Free promotion.
Do people care about my drinking coffee? I don't think they care about any of us drinking coffee.
I want to know what's fueling you for this review.
This is stupid. I don't want to talk about my coffee.
Okay. Well, after watching this pay-per-view, way, the standards for what is allowed on the air in terms of content, I think, has been drastically lowered. This was, I will say it right off the top, the worst call of a show I've ever heard in my life. Not the main commentator. It was Gorilla Monsoon, Randy Savage, but the star, if you want to call him that, of this show is Art Donovan, who that is all this show is remembered for, is this absolutely atrocious former football player. Not that he was a bad football player, but an absolutely horrendous commentator.
Yes. That's tough to argue, especially with the current season of NXT just having
no way.
Up.
After watching this way, this guy was so far and away worse than anyone the WWE has employed. So much worse.
Okay. I wonder if he got paid, actually, Art Donovan, for this guest appearance.
This was terrible. Let's start it off, everyone. The King of the Ring, 1994, June of 94, from the Baltimore Arena in Baltimore, Maryland. Now, on our file way, we did have a 30-minute countdown show that was hosted by Todd Pettengill.
Mm-hmm.
There was even a sign during the countdown show that said, Todd Pettengill Fan Club. I kind of skimmed through this countdown show. Did you watch any of it?
I did. I skimmed through most of it myself, but some notable aspects from it. They just recapped the King's Court segment featuring Bret Hart against Diesel.
Yes.
And in this segment, Lawler welcomed both Bret and Diesel to King's Court, which is his version of the Piper's Pit. And Lawler at this time, he was a hilarious, just annoying heel. And it just, while watching this, it just felt like everybody was in their prime here. You had Bret the Hitman Hart, Kevin Nash, Shawn Michaels, everybody in their prime. Diesel says, you're going to get the VIP treatment, Hitman. Very intense pain.
Oh, wow. How did that not become a t-shirt?
I don't know.
Oh,
the same
wow.
reason why the two dudes with attitudes never took off.
Oh, that's unfortunate. That pose, though.
Yeah, yeah. HBK sucker punches Bret, and then Diesel jackknives him, and then Lawler starts stomping Bret as well. This was a very nice little segment. And then they announce that a family member will be in the corner of Bret during the match to counter Shawn Michaels being in Diesel's corner. And then in the background, we go back to Todd Pettengill, and he's talking as a preliminary match takes place between Quang and Thurman Sparky Plug.
There was a match on the countdown show?
There was a match in the background of the countdown show.
But
Pettengill just stands in front of the match on the monitor and then says, can we switch off this match and go to the brackets? He just like completely ignored these poor guys. This Rikishi and Bob Holly, they don't get introductions. They get a couple moves in the background behind Todd
Whoa,
Pettengill.
Quang
was Rikishi.
Wasn't Quang
Savio?
Oh,
no, you're right. Sorry.
Who would be in the finals of the King of the Ring the next year?
Yes.
As CM Punk brought up.
Well, Quang, yes.
Quang.
And then, And you have Macho Man giving his predictions backstage, and I thought that was very funny. Johnny Polo was also on the show. He interviewed Mabel. It was just one surprise appearance after another on the show. Everybody had so much history behind him. Then we got a recap of the King's Court with Roddy Piper featuring a skinny Roddy Piper impersonator.
Really skinny white kid, yeah.
Really skinny impersonator. They just found the skinniest man in the world, it seems. But this kid did a great impression of Piper, complete with the little chuckles at the end of his sentences. And then at the end of the segment, Lawler makes this kid kiss his feet and crawl out of the ring.
So that is the Countdown Show, everybody. If it got you intrigued to buy this pay-per-view, I'm not sure. But we start off, then, Way, with the national anthem being sang by Ricky Medlock, the lead guitarist and singer of Blackfoot.
Blackfoot.
Who is Blackfoot?
The Ricky Medlock.
It sounds like a racial term.
Ricky Medlock. They were really hurting for celebrities at this
Dude,
time.
Look who's on commentary.
Yeah.
Gorilla Monsoon, Randy Savage, and Art Donovan, who they introduce as an NFL Hall of Famer. Now, for those of you that had no idea what this guy was doing here.
Hold on a second before you go on. Gorilla didn't introduce Art Donovan. He introduced Art O'Donnell. Said his name wrong.
Maybe that's where he made the decision that after studying all these Gordon Solie tapes, fuck it, I'm going to ruin this guy's broadcast. Art O'Donnell.
Art O'Donnell.
Awesome. Right. Art Donovan was... he had this little resurgence where David Letterman had him on his show all the time, and he kind of gained this little notoriety after his football career from appearing on David Letterman. And I guess the WWF, in order to push the new generation, as they did throughout this show, thought, hey, 70-year-old football player, that would be hip.
I don't understand.
Most times you'd bring in a guy and he'd simply just
sit in the front row.
Do some interviews backstage. Do something simple and leave the heavy lifting to the guys that can do it.
But a guy like this, I mean, like.
What an anchor on this show.
60, 70 year old man, why would. The last thing you would have him do is to have put him in any sort of speaking role on television, much less a 3-hour speaking role.
Like, when has that ever been done where they've brought in an outside commentator since that time? It's probably
Mike Adamly.
Yes, Mike Adamly, and that went over terrifically.
Okay.
All right, so we get into the King of the Ring tournament. We've got an 8-man single elimination tournament. Kicking things off, Bam Bam Bigelow, who has passed away, accompanied by Luna, who has also passed away, taking on Razor Ramon, who somehow has not passed away. And we have Savage. I really was never a big fan of his commentary, but by the end of this show, he might as well have been Jim Ross.
Yeah.
He was a great guy on promos, and then decided to do promos for commentary, and that does not translate.
Yeah, it doesn't really. I mean, he's...
He's
such an over-the-top character.
Yes.
And there's no way to tone that down when he's doing commentary, but it's really telling about this Art Donovan when Randy, the Macho Man Savage, is the normal guy.
Yes.
Here.
They mentioned that Ramon defeated Quang to qualify, and Bigelow defeated Sparky Plug, who you might have seen in the background on the Countdown Show, facing each other in a Who's the Best Loser match. There's a 15-minute time limit for first-round matches. Ramon and Hebner, I noted here, the only ones alive here of these four in the ring, which is kind of depressing.
Hebner?
Earl Hebner's alive.
Oh,
I'm saying Ramon and Hebner are the ones alive.
Yeah.
Savage... all of a sudden here, he's Razor Ramon's biggest fan in this match, and just a year and a half ago, or 2 weeks ago in Review Away, he was threatening to carve this man up.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Things, he became 18 months is a long time in wrestling.
Yeah.
Early on, Donovan isn't even speaking. Savage even jokes to Donovan that he'll take him by the hand and lead him through the show. Then Donovan decides to perk up. His first question of the night is... What's the girl over there screaming at? And this was the first of many, many stupid questions asked by Donovan throughout this show. Ramon is tossed over the top rope and starts selling the left knee. Then Bigelow hits a backbreaker spot in the ring. And at this point, carries Ramon.
A torture
up,
rack.
Puts him in a torture rack. And did you write down what Donovan asked about here?
Of course I did. Gorilla, is he dead?
He was worried for the life of this man who was in a torture rack.
I don't think we're not doing the,
everyone,
the commentary
we will,
justice.
No, we're not. We are going to have an entire montage coming up later on in the show today of the best or worst, if you would define it, of Art Donovan. I just went to grab a few clips, so I wrote down every single clip that made me laugh during the show, and I have at least 20 from Art Donovan. Just ridiculous. I had to cut stuff out.
Oh, my God. Yeah. The guy, when he talks, just imagine a senile old man watching professional wrestling for the very first time.
Go watch professional wrestling with your dad, who's never watched wrestling before, and that's the equivalent of this guy.
Well, if your dad was an idiot, that would be more accurate. But Art Donovan has his voice, he sounded like Curly or from the Three Stooges. It was that exact type of idiotic delivery, but real life.
There's an elbow hit by Bigelow. Then Bigelow goes for a moonsault, but Ramon pulls him off the top and then rolls him up upon the landing and gets the win to advance. Kind of a weak finish. Not a great match. Razor Ramon advances.
That's right. Yeah.
Todd Bettengill is backstage with Mabel and IRS. And IRS cuts a promo that he nearly screws up, saying that he's going to beat Mabel. Then he's going to beat Ramon, and he hopes Tatanka gets to the finals.
Yeah, he seemed to have a brain freeze at the end of his sentence there and didn't know how to finish it.
And then Mabel says that you have to be worried about the M to the A to the B-E-L. This is when it was in vogue to spell words out like that.
Isn't it still? Look at R-Truth. Does
Well, 90s... R-Truth's character is somewhat cemented in early 90s hip-hop, so maybe.
So he's an old-school hip-hop fan.
I guess so, maybe. He's a precursor to Mabel.
He's an elitist, a hip-hop elitist.
IRS and Mabel is up next. If that sounds horrid, you haven't seen this match. IRS cuts a promo on tax evaders. Then Art Donovan asks, Randy, is this one of the wrestlers? He looks like a businessman. Mabel's theme song gets a better reaction than Get Crunk did. Mabel, of course, comes out with this giant hoodie. Donovan is very confused, asking if he's going to wrestle with all these clothes on.
Mabel was playing the role of Eve Torres here.
Complete with the arm movements. Yeah. Mabel defeated Quebecer Pierre to qualify. Whenever you have to define a guy as, like, with a pronoun... Not a good time for that guy. It's like Scorpion number two. Yeah. Quebecer Pierre.
Yes.
Podcaster way.
Yeah, exactly. Art Donovan asks, Mabel comes in with his hood, and Art Donovan, the journalist that he is, asks, is that the way he's going to wrestle with all his clothes on?
Donovan then got me briefly excited because he says, he needs to get out of here because it's dangerous. And I thought he was going to leave. I thought they were actually hoofing him off of the broadcast. Unfortunately, we were not so lucky. Midway through the match, he asks, who's the guy in the white suit? In reference to Oscar in the corner of Mabel. IRS drops Mabel with a flying clothesline. Mabel then counters a body slam attempt with a small package that you have to see to believe. IRS barely kicks out of. Mabel totally blown up for his comeback here, which consisted of clotheslines, shoulder blocks, and a sidewalk slam. Mabel was just an ungodly bad performer. Then Mabel gets on the second rope. IRS shakes the ropes, and Mabel falls awkwardly, and IRS pins him. This was the exact same finish of their last pay-per-view with Yokozuna and Bret Hart.
This was the exact same finish as the match right before this, with Razor Ramon and with Bam Bam. Just toss the big man off the second rope and pin him.
Yeah, because big guys are clumsy.
Because they can't stand up if they fall... 2 feet.
IRS pins him while grabbing the ropes. Did not look good. Not a good match. We've had two pretty bad matches to start this tournament.
Yes, and it was also in this match that we got our very first, how much does that guy weigh?
Oh, did you keep count of this?
I lost count.
How much does this guy weigh?
Everyone. And then Randy or somebody says, 500 pounds, Art. And Donovan says, well, that's not fair. The other guy's only half that.
Great. The baby face has the unfair advantage. Mr. Fuji and Jim Cornette are backstage with Yokozuna and Crush. Another foursome here where two have passed away. And they are allowing Coliseum Video to see them get ready for their match with the Head Shrinkers for the tag titles. and it consists of Fuji saying he wants them to beat the Shrinkers for the tag titles.
Yes, I mean, you had... You could see why they brought in Jim Cornette for that team.
Mr. Fuji was a horrible manager. I don't care how fond memories people have of this guy. He was terrible for the job it entailed, which was speaking.
Yeah, but I mean, he was playing a foreign manager. You can't really cut a... His role was very limited.
All he did was walk with guys. Couldn't cut promos for them.
Doesn't he speak proper English?
I don't know.
He's been around for a while.
Yeah, he has. Well, his gimmick, he was like Sonny Ono. He wasn't allowed to.
Yeah, but it'd be weird. He was just mostly there for the visual by this point.
Then we go to our next tournament match, Tatanka against Owen Hart.
That's right.
They flew into Tatanka and let him work on this show.
Yes, they did. Owen comes out, and Donovan asks, how much does he weigh?
Fuck.
He asks once, no response. The other two, by this point, Gorilla and Randy, within 15 minutes of this broadcast, they realize...
This guy's an idiot.
What are we doing? They just straight up ignore him.
That wasn't even the best question, though, he asked in the intro, because when Tatanka came out, he asked how much Tatanka is worth. What's his net worth?
He didn't ask that.
He did. He said, how much is he worth?
Why?
And both just completely ignored him. They did not answer.
Yeah. So he asks how much Owen weighs once. Completely ignored. Asks again.
He asked during a later match with Owen.
Completely ignored twice. The match finally begins, and then the music's done, and now Art Donovan sees his opening. Ask Randy Savage one more time, how much does this guy weigh? And finally, Randy Savage reluctantly guesses. I'm 260 to 280 pounds if I have to guess.
That's how much Owen weighs. That's a terrible guess by Randy Savage.
Yeah, one or the other, I forget. But
oh,
fuck.
Wow.
This guy had to fight for his answer.
To qualify, Owen beat Doink, and Tatanka beat Crush. The crowd is into the match. Owen selling alone made this match better than the first two matches. Big pop as Owen tosses Tatanka over the top, and Tatanka lands on his feet. Then they show a backstage shoving contest between Razor Ramon and IRS. Owen gets the heat after tossing Tatanka into the steel post and then a top rope drop kick for a two count. Owen was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I thought this was a good match and the crowd was really hot for it.
There's one point where Donovan asks a question and there's just dead silence and it's just great. Owen hits Tatanka's head into the turnbuckles, but Tatanka no-sells him because I guess Indians can't feel pain. Is that the message? Tons of two counts here by Tatanka. The crowd was really getting into them, and Owen just surviving. And then the finish is a sunset flip attempt by Tatanka, but Owen sits down and grabs the legs of Tatanka. This was the same finish Bulldog and Brett from Wembley Stadium. A really good finish. This match was fine. And Donovan says a lot of American Indians will be mad.
Mm-hmm.
Silence. So that was that was our best match thus far. Owen Hart advances.
Well, at least he said American Indians. Think of what else he could have said.
No, he could have said something about scalpers or something terrible.
Yeah, I don't know.
Todd Pettengill is with Diesel and Shawn Michaels. They replay the jackknife powerbomb spot to Bret Hart in the King's Court. Michael says he hasn't been able to sleep, knowing he may have hurt Hart. And Diesel says, jackknife. And they discuss the mystery family member in Bret's corner and who it's going to be.
Yes.
That was it?
That's it.
Final quarterfinal match, way Jeff Jarrett and the 1-2-3 Kid. Donovan notes that Jarrett has a great tan, and he must have been down in the islands. No sell by Monsoon and Savage.
Oh, fuck.
Then he asks, who's this? When the 1-2-3 Kid comes out, Monsoon ignores him, and Donovan says he looks like a boxer. This guy was... He's warming up to me as I review this now.
I hated him
when I was watching this. 1-2-3 Kid beat Adam Bomb to qualify. Jarrett gets... that was a terrible thing I wrote here. That was not right. Just as Jarrett gets head after Kid jumps into the corner and misses. This injures the knee of 1-2-3 Kid that they played throughout the match. Jarrett attempted the figure four. But 1-2-2 Kid just rolls him up for the win. So this is a pretty quick match.
Uh-huh.
And
at the end of it, Jarrett is immediately outraged. He pile drives 1-2-3 Kid twice, and we're left with the suspense of whether or not this man, this boxer, like 1-2-3 Kid, will continue in the tournament.
What about Donovan's call after the pile driver? What
did he say?
Call the Marines. The officials take the 1-2-3 Kid to the back, and they tease he won't be able to continue.
It's probably much, much funnier if you had actually seen this show than us.
No, recording. I disagree. I think this is more funny than actually having to sit through 3 hours of this guy.
Man.
They then air a promo for the WWF New Generation, where they show like black and white footage of cars from like the 1800s, like the first plane that the Orville brothers ever flew. And then they show old talent like Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, Ivan Putski, and Bob Backlund. And then they show the comparisons to the new, like Mabel, Razor Ramon, Owen Hart, and the 1-2-3 Kid.
And NASCARs.
NASCARs, yeah, that's where it's at now.
Yes.
This was a terrible promo. And on a show when it's being headlined by Jerry Lawler and Roddy Piper,
yeah,
kind of takes away the steam of this promotional push.
Absolutely.
Anyway, we keep moving on here. Bret Hart is with Todd Pettengill backstage. He says Diesel is a long way from giving that jackknife powerbomb to him again, and says that, and he says this twice over again, and he doesn't know if he can kick out of the move, and he's going to bring Diesel back down to his size. I thought Bret, a lot of people criticized his promos. I thought he always made himself very believable. Mm-hmm. Like, he approached this like this was like the NCAA finals,
yes,
or something.
Yes.
And it added an air of credibility that I enjoyed for the spot he was in. It didn't, yes, make sense for him to be doing stupid catchphrases and
absolutely
gimmicky stuff.
He's no spectacular promo. I don't think he'll ever be on the level of someone like Roddy Piper, for instance. But he's incredibly fitting for a champion. He just sounds serious.
And in that alone, I thought, would make him a good... I think the key is that you need contrasting promos. I think just because you aren't Roddy Piper, mm-hmm, doesn't mean you're necessarily a bad promo.
Yeah.
People look at George St. Pierre and say, this guy is so bland and boring, but his style when he talks, like, I think there's a total perfect role for somebody like that. It doesn't, yeah, make him a bad promo.
That's what you want for a champion. You know, you don't necessarily want somebody who's too much personality. You want someone who just sounds like a legit athlete.
Yeah. So then we go very early for this, but the WWF title match, Bret Hart against Diesel. Donovan doesn't know who Shawn Michaels is and asks if he is a wrestler. Hart comes out with his family member, Jim Neidhart. If I had any pick of the Hart family, would you pick Jim Neidhart?
Well, who are the choices?
Well, his family.
Well, Davey?
Davey would come in a few months later.
Bruce?
Bruce would have been great.
Yeah.
He would have stepped on you. Savage mentions that Neidhart played for the Oakland Raiders. Not true. Training camp. And he had the world record for throwing the shot put. Again, not true. Hart attacks the left leg of Diesel and is going for falls early in the match.
Donovan starts asking if all the various people in the ring also played football. He starts with Diesel. Did Diesel also play football?
He said Diesel can do whatever he wants. See a figure four spot by Hart. Hebner counts Diesel's shoulders down in the figure four, and Monsoon gets on Hebner saying it's not a pinning combination. Yes, it is, Gorilla. Then Hart wraps the leg of Diesel around the steel post as he continues to focus all of his offense on the left leg of Diesel. Made sense. We see a clothesline by Michaels to Hart on the floor, and then Neidhart chases after Michaels. Very
chases him, but never catches him.
Well, Michaels is fast, and Jim is not.
Right. Okay. But this is an important point for later on.
Yes.
In the show.
Yes. Awkward spot is Hart lunges off the top rope, and Diesel's supposed to catch him and does not.
I don't know. I think it looked like Bret actually slipped on his way off the top, so I wouldn't fault.
Anyway, Diesel landed in Bret's guard. And I'm
like,
wow, they are way ahead of the times here.
Full
but then
guard here.
Diesel lifts him up into a bear hug spot, which I want to see the next time someone is fighting John Fitch. Hart slingshots over the top rope, misses Diesel, and lands on his legs and goes down. Diesel then runs Hart's back into the steel post and then begins working over the lower back. The referee's distracted as Michaels tries to undo the turnbuckle pad as Diesel has Hart in a backbreaker. Hart then escapes to apply a sleeper hold. Then Hart avoids the turnbuckle spot and hits Diesel's face into it for a big pop. Then we get a big comeback by Hart with haymakers as Diesel is selling being out. This was almost, they were trying to play this off like it's a boxing fight or something where Diesel was just out on his feet. And then Michaels is selling the near fall by Hart on the floor, just losing his mind. Then Hart goes for the sharpshooter, but then decks Michaels from the apron to the floor. And I think Shawn Michaels was trying to jump into the rafters.
Yeah,
based on this spot. Neidhart then attacks Michaels on the floor and takes out Diesel as Diesel goes for the jackknife. And Hebner calls to the bell, and Diesel gets the win by disqualification. Michaels and Diesel leave Hart laying after the match as Neidhart just gets out of there and doesn't help Brett, and the officials get involved. So, again, a very similar kind of ending to the... I don't know why you had to do the... If you were doing a big post-match beatdown, mm-hmm. It's like we just saw that with the 1-2-3 kid. Was the 1-2-3 kid injury angle that important?
I never made that comparison.
I just found there was a lot of that on this show where it was just like repetitive spots and finishes. But nonetheless, so this kind of, they would set this up later on in the show. This was obviously going to be a bigger angle.
I really liked this match. I thought, Nash's best matches were always with
Michaels
Brett.
And Brett.
Michaels and Brett, yeah. And, this was, Brett just did very well working that big man, small man angle, and I quite enjoyed this match. But Donovan's very concerned at the end of it. The referee is holding the belt, and Donovan is concerned that the ref was stealing the belt. Look at that.
He's going to give it back to him, Art. Don't worry. Pettengill is with Jerry Lawler, who starts making fun of Art Donovan and then refers to Piper is the pits. And they bring up that Piper will be donating a portion of his money that he makes tonight to the Sick Kids Hospital in Toronto. And Lawler says that there will be nothing going to those brats in Canada.
Yes.
Which, I mean, Piper, if he loses, it's not like he's working this match for free. I guess he meant his win
purse.
Bonus. Yeah. Maybe he was going to go for the fight of the night as well. Razor Ramon versus IRS is next in a semifinal match. They brought up that they fought at the Royal Rumble earlier that year. IRS wore him down with a sleeper early on.
Well, hold on. Before this.
No. Did I miss
something? Art Donovan, at the beginning of the broadcast, he had picked Razor Ramon to win this tournament, actually.
Yes.
Despite... Okay, well, he picked Razor Ramon when questioned by Carrillo. He just...
That's because Razor Ramon was on screen at the time.
And that's also because Razor Ramon's probably the only name that he's ever heard of right before he came out. So Razor Ramon comes out in this second match, the semifinal match, and Donovan, despite picking him to win the tournament, despite having seen him wrestle a 10-minute match less than an hour ago, asks the question, this is that guy, a Razor, right?
You would think that if you really didn't know who it was, would you ask it on the air, or would you just wait a minute for the play-by-play man to say his name?
So many questions.
Just horrible.
I have to wonder what Vince sounded like on the headsets.
Well, in fairness to Vince, he was getting ready for his steroid trial the next month.
Oh, so he was not even here.
I don't know if he was even at the show.
Oh, my God.
Because he was getting ready for the biggest trial of his life.
Fuck.
And maybe some of these things fell through the cracks, like Art Donovan. Ramon made a comeback, threw him around with his tie, hit the razor's edge for a clean win. Very short match, not anything to speak of.
Yes. RRS at one point gets a sleeper or like a chin lock and uses the ropes for leverage behind the ref's back. And Art Donovan says, why does that kid have his 2 feet on the rope? Why? These are just questions that a 7-year-old would ask if you're watching wrestling with him. And poor Randy Savage and Gorilla Monsoon having to explain
Gorilla
this.
Just had no time for this guy.
Oh,
but Savage was
so
at least trying to help him. It's like Savage actually had compassion for this man. Gorilla was like, fuck him. After that first match, he was like, I'm done with him.
Yeah,
it's a two-man booth now.
He stepped him the entire time.
Gorilla.
Very funny.
Then we see Brett wandering around backstage. He's not... You think your brother-in-law, you'd call him by his first name. But, Neidhart! Neidhart! Where is he? And he can't find him.
Do you call your brother Pollock?
All the time. Pollock! Pettengill is at the result board, and he cannot find the 1-2-3 kid to see if he's going to continue. It's probably because he was getting ready for this match that was next. We've got Owen Hart against the 1-2-3 kid. They tease that the kid is not coming out. but ends up coming out. And immediately as he gets to the ring, Owen clocks him with a baseball slide on the floor. I love that spot.
Yes.
Great. What a great heel. These guys were given like 3 minutes, and this was like the best 3-minute match you could put together on this pay-per-view.
At this point on the roster, these two were probably two, if not the two quickest guys on the entire roster.
Why the fuck did we get 10 minutes of Razor and Bam Bam Bigelow when we could have got 10 minutes of these two? Like, man, you had done a whole story based around 1-2-3 Kid. You could have told this knee injury story, and I don't know.
I think it's just the way that things worked out. And with the... with the injury, I don't know if it would have been that realistic to do a long match, but who knows? I think match quality was the last thing on their minds when putting these shows together.
Oh, absolutely. We see a bridge by 1-2-3 Kid, but Owen gets his feet on the ropes. Then a somersault by Kid to the floor. Owen hits a bridging German for a two count. Savage announces he is officially retiring from the sport after watching this match. And then Owen applies the sharpshooter for the clean win. Which this was before tap outs, Way, because 1-2-3 Kid was tapping out, but you had to verbally say, I quit at this point. Owen advances to the finals here to take on Razor Ramon. This was, as we said, very good 3-minute match.
Yes, Donovan, for lack of anything better to say, he was very quiet during
this
match.
Which was great. The less, the better.
But once Owen came out, asked again, how much does this fellow weigh? And after a long pause, very long pause, Savage finally guesses 230 or so.
He's lost 60 pounds since the last guess. Piper is in the back. This is a Coliseum Video exclusive. They decided not to do a second take because Piper could not remember what city he's in at the start of this. It hit him that he was in Baltimore.
This was terrible.
This was really bad.
He cuts this very long promo. He starts taking his shirt off in the middle of it. But in the end of it, I had no clue what he just said. He said nothing.
He talked about Lawler making fun of one of his movies, and he's like, you had to make fun of the one movie I hated doing about being the last potent man on Earth.
Right. Then he says something there about there being a lot of kings, like Rodney King, Don King, and King the Dog. And then says, bottom line, there is no king.
Yeah, that's it. There is no such thing as a king.
That was it. That was the meme.
Right after he said there's lots of kings. Whatever. Then we go on to the Head Shrinkers.
In front of a camera.
Yes. The Head Shrinkers with Lou Albano and Afa taking on Yokozuna and Crush.
When Yokozuna walks in, Donovan remarks, whoa!
he's been waiting for this one.
You could just tell he's salivating at
what
the brilliant...
What question just ran into his head?
The brilliant question he's got lined up. And without fail, before Yoko even makes his way onto the mat surrounding the ring, Donovan lets out the question one more time. How much does this guy weigh? And Donovan is further confused by the number of people competing in this tag team title match because you see both teams here had two managers. So he thought he had no idea. He thought everybody would be competing.
So it's a lot of managers.
Yeah.
Savage says this is the greatest night he has ever been a part of.
Yes.
Think about that one. The Head Shrinkers' gimmick is that they don't feel pain in their heads. Savage calls the Head Shrinkers my new favorite tag team of all time. Fatu hits a pile driver to Crush and then comes off the second rope with a slap to the face. Savage says that Head Shrinker mania is sweeping the nation. I was around during this time. I can attest it was not. They got heat on Samu and worked on him in their corner. Then Lex Luger walks out, wearing an American flag shirt and this red, white, and blue spandex distract Crush.
Oh, it was weird. His spandex. It looked like... later on, he takes off the shirt, and he just looked like a candy cane. He looked like a blue and red candy
cane. It was like spandex overalls.
It was weird.
With, like, these black construction boots on. Like, the worst outfit I've ever seen on a wrestling show.
Yeah, I know the 90s were bad, but this was...
No, they were never this bad. Yeah. This guy just having terrible fashion sense. Donovan fucked up the finish here because he's confused over who Lex Luger is, and it ends up they're talking to Donovan as Fatu hits a kick to the face of Crush for the pin, takes all the drama out of the finish here.
Not only were they...
This was bad.
Luger's thirst came out for his run-in, and then Gorilla and Savage talk at length about Luger's psychology and the storyline, talk at length about it for a long time. And at the very end of this discussion, Donovan asks, who's the fellow in the American flag? After they had spent all this time talking about the guy that he had just, he was so lost, this man.
What a fool. Todd Pettengill is with Owen Hart backstage. He says, Brett won the King of the Ring last year, but tonight he was a loser, and he wishes Stu a happy Father's Day. And that leads to the finals. Razor Ramon against Owen Hart. Donovan is worried here that the heel is outweighed by 30 pounds here. Then Donovan decides mid-match to cut bait, and he picks Owen to win. And the announcers are upset here. It's like, you picked Razor Ramon. He's in the finals, and now you're giving up on him?
For completely no reason. He's just...
And Savage comes to his defense. He's like, what you're saying is that a man has the prerogative to change his mind. Yeah, absolutely. Horrible commentator, yes. Folks. Razor Ramon hits a suplex off the top rope. He goes for the razor's edge, but ends up taking a back body drop to the floor. And then Jim Neidhart runs down. He sees Ramon on the floor, and then he attacks him and tosses him into the steel post, throws him back into the ring. Owen hits a top rope elbow drop for the win, and both attack Ramon after the match to chants of "We want Brett."
They give him the heart attack.
They go backstage, and Raymond Rougeau is with Brett, who is just so disgusted at this, he has no comment, and he walks off. I at least like the fact that they acknowledge Brett was so upset, rather than, why wouldn't this guy come out and help somebody?
Yeah, yeah.
So that was good. They were like, he was so disgusted by this, he couldn't even think of Razor Ramon.
We cut back to Savage explaining the outcome of the match, and Savage hypothesizes Jim Neidhart's motivations and says, Neidhart probably just in Brett's match wanted Brett to retain the title, so he intentionally DQ'd Brett. And then Gorilla is about to say something, but Art Donovan interrupts Gorilla Monsoon to chime in with the question. Hey, I got a question. And you can tell at this point the two of them are groaning. What is this guy going to say? Art Donovan's question. Did you two act like that when you were wrestling? He interrupted Gorilla Monsoon to ask this question.
They're fucking spelling out this angle for the viewers at home who might not have gotten it to sell SummerSlam.
Gorilla Monsoon just flat out ignores him, continues with
I'm surprised
point.
Gorilla didn't hit him. I'm shocked, actually. Then we go to the coronation ceremony. Owen is with Jim Neidhart. Todd Pettengill is there along with Jack Tunney. Pettengill's voice cracks during the ceremony. Jack Tunney's about to put the crown on him, but Owen turns it down, and he wants Jim Neidhart to crown him, and then he refers to himself as the King of Hearts. This was a good promo.
Great. Very good. Classic.
Then something not so great, the video preview of Jerry Lawler and Roddy Piper.
I completely forgot that this match was still remaining.
This was the main event, folks.
I had no idea why, because they didn't seem to push this as a main event. This wasn't their biggest angle going into the show. It made no sense, besides the finish, I guess.
We've got the King's Court versus Piper's Pit, and they have Lawler delivering all these insults on Raw, and they couldn't get Piper to come to a show. So he recorded all this stuff on a camcorder at home responding to it.
What was the deal with this? Why?
I guess they could only get him for the pay-per-view. Maybe he was filming a movie? I don't know, but they could not get him on Raw, and this looked so cheap on this camcorder. Like, just terrible footage.
Well, just no light. It was like a YouTube video.
Yeah, this is like something WWF tends to avoid, even in the past when production was not at its current quality.
Well, like, for that reason, it was really odd that this was their main event.
Yeah. Leads to Monsoon stating that, this is the new generation! This is what it's all about! Right after this video preview, where we're going to see 40-year-old Roddy Piper take on 44-year-old Jerry Lawler. And Lawler comes out, cuts a promo on Baltimore, insults a politician in the front row, who may or may not have been the mayor of the city.
Yeah, I don't know.
Then a band of bagpipers come out for Piper's entrance, and then Piper comes out with the imposter kid, who I guess he's saved now, and he was identified as by Savage as the kid from Monday Night Raw, and by Monsoon as the young boy.
Yes.
The young boy was like at least 20.
I didn't really understand having this kid around. I felt absolutely no sympathy for the
Not
guy.
At all.
The guy was making fun
this
of Piper.
Prick who made fun of him on TV, and now Piper's his buddy.
And I guess they were trying to explain how they were trying to make you feel sympathy, I guess, because Lawler had made this kid kiss his feet and make him crawl out of the ring, but the kid was doing it intentionally. And
he was happy to be doing so. It's not like he was forced into that.
So
then Piper cuts
didn't work for me.
Piper cuts his promo from They Live. stating that we have come here to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and we're all out of bubble gum. Piper here, everybody. Ripped.
Yeah.
Scott Putski Award going to Roddy Piper on this show, I think.
I don't know about that.
Who? Who else?
Lex Luger was on the show.
I'm going to give Luger a week off because he didn't wrestle on this show, and it's always going to Luger.
All right, fine.
Piper, dude, had a six-pack here. Like, I've never seen him in this shape.
In comparison to the shape
even
he's
in his prime.
Right now, he looked very good.
Yeah.
He did.
Like, he was never known for his body, but he looked insane here. Mm-hmm. The kid gets a spot where he pokes Lawler in the eyes. Early part of the match is all Piper with Lawler bouncing around for him. Lawler attacks the kid on the floor and shoves him into the ring, and Piper gets on top to shield him. Then we get a long sleeper spot by Lawler. Then a hesitation pile driver by Lawler. No reaction to this pile driver. Mm. But Piper kicks out, and Savage urges Piper to fight for the kids in Toronto.
Nah.
Piper's comeback consists of a bulldog, another bulldog, goes for a third bulldog, and is pushed into the ref, who is knocked out. And then Piper is hit by a foreign object by Lawler. Lawler pins him with his feet on the ropes, but the young boy knocks the feet off. And then Piper hits this shitty-looking back suplex and, like, has a seizure trying to pin him. Horrible pinning predicament here. This combination looked terrible, and he got the win. Like, this looked as bad as when Owen pinned Steve Austin with the excuse that Austin had just been dropped on his head.
And paralyzed.
And this was just, this was a terrible roll-up spot. Like, I did not understand how this had to be the finish.
The whole match was... boring.
Not very good at all.
Flat ending to the pay-per-view. They wanted a babyface win.
Yeah, because Brett wasn't going over, so that made sense.
But awful, terribly, I don't know. I would have much preferred to have Brett close off. You know what? Brett couldn't have closed off the show, but Owen should have closed the show. And
again, they wanted the babyface win.
Yeah,
so.
But the match was not good, and also... you're trying to pump this new generation thing, and you're having these two guys wrestle with Piper's offense. It's a very 80s offense, and it just didn't do anything for me.
So there you go. That was the main event, and then the show finished with Michaels and Diesel backstage. I think this is just for Coliseum video, and Michaels promises to get him the WWF title, and that's how the show ends.
That's it.
And this show way headlined by two people that over the past month were the best promos on Raw.
Yeah. Jerry Lawler headlined this show just like he headlined Raw this past week, and I really miss his heel character.
They just let him wrestle on the King of the Ring shows. That's it.
I really miss Lawler's heel character. Did you hear what they did after the show on Monday?
Yeah, they did a whole birthday thing for him.
They did a whole birthday thing.
He turned 61.
And Lawler received 400 emails on his Facebook afterwards.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's great. He did a great job on Monday. He was tremendous.
It was fantastic, yes.
All right, so we'll get into the feedback now, everybody.
Well, what do you give the show?
Oh, yeah, right. You know what? It wasn't a very good show. I mean, Owen was the standout performer for me.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the Brett matches, the Owen matches, and some of the promos here were good.
I'm going to give it a 4.5 out of 10. I thought there was some good stuff, but was there some bad stuff. And Art Donovan was just atrociously bad.
Well, I guess your skill and my skill may differ because the bad stuff that I actually laugh at, that figures into my rating. So I got to give this a 7 out of 10. I highly recommend it if you and a couple buddies want to kill some time. Grab a couple beers, jack up the volume on your sound system strictly for this gold.
And for those of you that have not seen the show and don't plan to waste 3 hours. Here it is, everybody. The worst of Art Donovan from this pay-per-view.
Yeah, Camillo, who's the guy leading? What's that, a second? That's Shawn Michaels. Is he another wrestler? Former Intercontinental Champion. But so may be the career of the 1-2-3.
They're going to call out the Marines. This is like David and Goliath.
Well, David and Goliath, indeed. We know what happened to that.
That's okay, he's just thinking it out. It's an end, man. Don't worry about that.
Who's the fellow with the American flag? Art Donovan, that's Lex Luger.
Oh, okay.
And Bam Bam credit for holding him up that long.
Gorilla, is he dead?
Oh, definitely not.
Randy, is this one of the wrestlers?
He's one of the best.
He looks like a businessman. Is this the way he's going to wrestle with his clothes on?
Oh, no, he takes all of that off. the guy in the white suit?
Guy in the white suit.
That'd be Oscar.
That's Oscar, the manager of Men on a Mission, Art.
Oh, I thought maybe he was the guy coming to take him to the hospital. Gorilla, is the Parker getting any air at all?
I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
What's the girl over there screaming at? I wish you'd get rid of that tooth trick, though. Hey, this is my man, Razor, right?
This is the guy. This is the guy, Art, that you predicted.
Oh, Art Donovan, I got a hand up for you.
Oh, I'm right there.
Razor's gone all the way to the finals. You might be the man to pick the king.
And then he'll be the king. He'll be crowned the king, right?
He's got to beat the Rocket. He's got to survive the Rocket.
I think that Razor's going to lose. I think this other
Wait a minute, Art. You predicted at the beginning of our program.
After watching the show, I think the other fellow's got a little too much for him. Randy, there's going to be a lot of American Indians mad.
All right, now we've got the Topster standing by.
So some memorable calls their way. Art Donovan. Wow. Okay, so let's get
into this. He's still alive, by the way.
He is still alive.
Yeah.
So, you know, good for him.
So we can make fun of him.
Maybe one day we can get him on the show.
I don't know.
Can tell him. We can ask him how much he weighs right now. All right, let's start off with the feedback, Way. Why don't you start off with a Jay?
Hey, John and Way. Jay Hunter, by the way. Hey, John and Way, here's some random thoughts from the 1994 King of the Ring. Art O'Donnell was hilarious. His ignorant comments stole the show. Constantly asking who the wrestlers were, if they were wrestlers, how much they weigh. Lines like, did you two guys enjoy doing this? This guy, Double J's a cutie.
I missed that.
I missed that too. Amazing. Why was business in the toilet in 1994? Seeing Jarrett with Dink on his shoulder, a curly blonde guy wearing garish pink tights and matching light-up sunglasses, holding a midget clown. Having the King of the Ring brackets on an adhesive board backstage was great. Much more fun than just graphics with the voiceover we have today. Tatanka has aged really well. Luger was wearing a horrific singlet. What? Was it made from a carnival tent? Owen Hart really saved this pay-per-view. He's a much better wrestler than I remember. I'm pretty sure jackknife is one word. The Diesel, WWF employees pronounce it Diesel, call his finisher the jackknife? Diesel took a Samoa Joe bump from a top rope bulldog, rolling forward and landing on his back. For shame. Sean had an amazing mullet. Is it the largest in wrestling history? I don't think so. Amazing. Keep up the good work, lads.
Okay, yes. Next one is from Zev Strox. Hey, John, how many people do you think that watch wrestling watch it like you, analyzing it and hating on it because of things that most people would not even realize, like what time this person shows up or which hour this segment takes place? When you talk about the actual wrestling show, yes, you have really solid points. Before I start, I want to acknowledge that I know wrestling is an art and that I am a huge fan of the wrestling superstars, John Cena, Randy Orton, and the rest of them. I'm not a fan, though, of most of the divas. The divas got there because of their God-given gift, their face and body. That you have other divas like Melina, Mickie James, and Beth Phoenix who worked their ass off to get there, and the men have gotten theirs.
And gotten the, there from their physics.
Physics and worked hard to get, plus there are other sports they played to get there, like wrestling or football.
T-H-E-Y-R-E.
And many took years until they got there. Another question. I would love to hear you and Way talk about this. I've always watched matches with guys like Jack Swagger, Dolph Ziggler, Alberto Del Rio.
Oh, my God.
What goes through your head? Is this not real and no stories being told? How do you have an amateur wrestler lose to a bodybuilder like Orton and Cena and Sheamus? Remember, Randy Couture trained MMA for 1 week before his MMA debut because he was such a high-level wrestler. What do you think should be done about these guys who the announcers keep on saying are all Americans or NCAA champions? So we are being told that they are badasses and seeing them losing to these guys who are no major athletes. The only story you're telling is that an amateur wrestler can't beat a John Cena or a DX tag team that aren't that young. Okay, I think we'll end it there.
I've never questioned that for a second, but it is. Amateur wrestling in a pro wrestling context means nothing. I guess in the mind of a fan, they're different sports, and so a person with an amateur wrestling background has no more of an advantage than somebody with a kung fu background or a garbage man background. You know, it means nothing. I don't know. I never questioned that.
Yeah, I think there's a certain suspension of disbelief within pro wrestling that just because you have an amateur wrestling background, I don't think it makes it unbelievable that they don't win a match. I don't
and
know.
Since when did wins and losses matter in pro wrestling?
Once upon a time they did. Let's go to the next one, Wade. Nate Milton.
Nate Milton. Regarding the Mickie James multi-feud deal on Impact, I'd say just because MJ is the number one contender, it doesn't mean that the title match will occur instantly. All right. I think the Mickie Terra feud is one of the few things the Knockouts have gotten right in the past year or so. Once MJ defeats Terra, then she can move on to face Reign and take the Knockouts belt. It makes her title win seem more valid in that she had to go through Terra to reach her goal. As for the winter gimmick, it's still better than the One Warrior Nation.
Okay, well, you're comparing shit to shit here. No, I disagree with that for the number one contenders.
Yeah.
If you have a number one contender match, that means you're the number one contender. Why would you not pursue the title match? Should the title not be the ultimate goal?
Well, I'm thinking the UFC does this, where if a champion is injured, they will line up. Like Yushin Okami, for instance.
The champion's not injured in TNA.
Yes. So,
and
well,
Angelina Love had a three-way with the champion this past week after losing the number one contender match, even though it was a non-title this week.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Why do a number one contender match to begin with? It's a worked sport.
The simplest thing you could say is I'm not going to remember that number one contenders match come next month when she finally has her title match. It'll be 2 months since it happened on a throwaway match. So,
Ben Lowe. John, nobody cares about your coffee addiction. Well, Ben, I wanted to give him an update. I went a week without a coffee this past week.
A week, yeah.
I bought one on Thursday, and in the morning, I was having it. I couldn't even finish it. I had to throw it out.
Really?
It tasted terrible.
Wow.
Like, I thought I was going to throw up.
You're just off of it now. Cold.
Just done. I'm just done with coffee. And the thing is, it's not even like I really want to quit or anything. I can't. It tastes terrible now. It's like my body's rejecting it. I'm fine with having a coffee every day, and I can't now.
I think I'm happy to hear that, because there was a time, maybe like a year or so ago, when you actually went through some coffee addiction symptoms.
Yeah,
and you were hospitalized.
I was not hospitalized.
Oh, you went to the doctors or something.
Well, I went to my annual checkup, and I brought this up. I'd be like, I'll wake up in the morning and I have a headache. It's like, oh, do you drink a lot of coffee? I'm like, a decent amount. He's like, well, you're going through withdrawal. You need a coffee in the morning to get rid of your headache, right? I'm like, yeah. Well, you're going to have to give it up, and it's going to be painful for a few weeks, but then it'll be out of your system. So yeah. I tried getting it out of it. I just couldn't.
Not only were you drinking coffee, weren't you doing like vodka Red Bulls on the weekends as well?
Oh,
you're doing
the occasional one. Nah.
That's your drink.
I haven't had a vodka and Red Bull in months. I just got kind of sick of it.
You're a changed man.
My body is forcing me to just be, healthier.
That's great.
So Ben, that's the update. And if anything changes, you will be the first to know.
Mm-hmm. Ultimush Gazdar. Hey, guys. Stellar Impact review again. While I love hearing Way go from Calm to Jack Nicholson in The Shining at the stupidity of it all, I think the quality of the show needs to be looked at in context.
No. Okay, go on.
For a company that's so overwhelmingly handicapped by its own ineptitude thanks to Russo and Bischoff and some ridiculous thinking, see Samoa Joe bursting through the stage like a fat, incredible Hulk. I think the show is pretty tolerable and infinitely more entertaining than vanilla WWE shows. P.S. I know if I've asked this before, but would you guys consider doing a top 10 style show? P.P.S. John, whatever happened in the show you and Jason were doing on weeknights?
All right, well, let's address these. First of all, no, I've always been against that kind of theories. People will be like, well, you gotta enjoy TNA for what it is. They've got bad booking, and they've got this, and they don't use their talent right. No. Tell me a television show, Way, that you would watch every week, knowing that it doesn't make sense to you and that it constantly upsets you.
Yeah.
But, well, 24, it doesn't really make any sense logically, but I realize that, so if I can get through that, no.
Yeah.
Then you just stop watching it.
This is not a student project.
You are spending 2 hours of your week. It's not you just digest what they give you and just, you know, shit out sunshine.
If I didn't have to do this podcast, I have my choice of watching on a Thursday night at 9 o'clock. What is it? Isn't Lost? Wasn't Lost on at that time? That was like, that is the main time. Seinfeld was on at that time. I have my choice. The Jersey Shore, it goes up against Impact. I'm not saying it's that much better in terms of writing, but when I critique Impact, I'm critiquing Impact against any other options that I have as a viewer, and I would never.
Yeah, I'm just, I don't feel fans should have to, you know, overlook things and downgrade their expectations for a show. And as much as we might complain about WWE at certain times, this past Monday's Raw was great.
Mm-hmm.
Told a great story.
The past 3 weeks were fantastic.
How shy. Guy that just wanted a title shot his whole career gets a title shot. This is his one chance to go for the title. Mm-hmm. And the audience grew because they cared. Amazing concept.
Yeah.
But that's just old school wrestling. That's not what we're interested in 2010, apparently.
No, they didn't leave us waiting for the finish on the show afterwards.
Yes. He asked about a top 10 show. I don't know what that would mean. Like a top 10 what?
I'm guessing like maybe like, you know, theme shows, like top 10 moves.
Top 10 moves.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. I think that would require a lot more work, actually.
Probably, and we're not interested in that.
Yeah.
And the show me and Jay did, we had a one-week trial here in Toronto on News Talk 1010. We did that for 1 week, and it was just like a one-week trial. So they were not looking to add any more programming in the weeknights. So that's what happened there. We just had the one-week trial. Danny Powers, I highly recommend for everyone to watch TNA when they're stoned. TNA is absolutely awesome, but mostly only when I'm smoking weed.
Yeah.
So there you go. There's an alternative from Danny of how he enjoys TNA.
Yes. Mark Cardoso. Ah, King of the Ring 94 with Art. How much does he weigh Donovan? I remember how annoyed Monsoon was at Donovan to the point he and Macho Man ignored him for the main event. I guess Vince just about flipped his lid when Art asked, is that my guy Razor in the finals? Yes, Art, it is. Art saying, hooray. Another part was when Todd was interviewing the mayor and asked who his favorite wrestler was, and he mentioned Hulk Hogan, who was in WCW at the time.
Okay,
this was cut off.
Yeah, this was clearly cut off.
Video.
We would not have missed that.
Yeah, wow.
And this was the Coliseum video we saw.
Todd totally looked lost at that moment. Can't wait to hear you guys turn this shit into gold.
So that was the mayor. I was wondering, why would they not have interviewed this guy? And, well, they did.
When Lawler insulted him, he looked like he had a legitimate...
Well, clearly he was sent out to do that.
Yeah.
Rob King, listening to the TNA review right now, John made the point about Foley getting hit with a book hurting him when comparing it to guitar shots. I would take a guitar shot to the head over a hardcover book any day. A guitar is hollow and would have some give to it. A hardcover book has no give.
Yeah, a lot of interesting debate stemming from that comment John made last week. It's tough to argue, tough to say which one hurts more, guitar or book.
Yeah, it's one of those endless debates. Why?
Yep. Stefan Kyle Gosain. Anecdote regarding World War III, 1995. This was the very first WCW pay-per-view I watched as a child. I was very much a big WWF fan at the time. While my big brother wanted to show me WCW, after the main event, I turned to him and said, do you realize that if this was a WWF show, they wouldn't be telling us to watch the free show to explain what happened on the one we had to pay for? We totally just wasted our money. He then proceeded to punch me across my face, but I digress.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Tim Gass. Hey, guys, I thought the Raw wasn't too bad, except Maurice's promo. That was horrible. But I thought the Morrison and Sheamus match was pretty good, much better than their match at Survivor Series. I also enjoyed the Miz and Lawler match. For being 60-something years old, Lawler looked pretty good.
He did, especially considering that he had that staph infection only 2 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago, he was in a hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a very impressive performance for a guy that old and getting around.
And really, like, he was kept pretty safe there. Well, I can't even really say that because of all those chair shots to the back, but the pacing of that match was really
It was a relatively safe TLC match, which I have zero problem with. I don't want guys to go kill themselves.
Well, this is the art of professional wrestling.
Exactly.
Not get hurt.
That crowd was so hot for that match.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of the art of pro wrestling.
Yep.
You know, if the audience is into it, you know, get on these guys.
You're not supposed to get
around.
You're not supposed
exactly.
to get hurt.
Exactly. That's professional wrestling in a nutshell. I called that Cole was going to get involved in the match. I think Lawler's retiring, and he wanted a title match before he retired. Is the Guess Ways car contest still open? If it is, I think it's a Honda Civic. Keep up the good work, guys.
No, it is not open, because I had said that it was a Honda Civic like two or 3 weeks ago.
Did you catch Ultimate Fighter this week?
Yes, I did. Oh, my God.
I
couldn't believe that.
If I had to compare myself to a car, it would be a Honda Civic.
because I'm not the most powerful, but I am very efficient on gas.
I think he just admitted he was on steroids.
Oh, God. Right? Let's briefly chat about that for a second, because what an episode for Nam Phan, this guy. The beginning of the episode, for people who didn't see it, this Nam Phan is a, I believe he's a Vietnamese. He's a Vietnamese mixed martial artist who made it to the semifinals of this year's Ultimate Fighter, and his fight came up at the very last episode of this season, which just aired on Wednesday. And Nam Phan, at the beginning of the episode, he's kind of broken off from the rest of his team, Team Koscheck. And yeah. So the rest of the team starts making fun of him as Nam Phan is taking a shower. The team is outside just saying, why does Nam always take so much time in the shower? He takes like an hour, up till an hour in the shower. He must be jerking off. And so the team decides to break into the shower as Nam is taking a shower, and he actually is jerking off.
They caught him on camera masturbating.
On national TV, this man has just been caught masturbating. It's bad enough if your sister or your mom walks in. Imagine the whole world.
98 million homes.
Seeing you jerk off in the shower on TV. This poor guy. And he loses his match at the end.
It was a bad night for Nam Phan. He lost to Michael Johnson. A very good fight. Close split decision.
Yeah.
So Nam Phan, yes. And then we saw him fighting Leonard Garcia Saturday night in a featherweight bout.
Yes, we did.
It was a very good fight.
Oh, amazing fight.
So let's keep going here. We've got Aram Nasrallah. Thanks for the World War III review. This is the first WCW pay-per-view I was looking forward to since as a kid I loved the Battle Royals, and the idea with 60 men was just so crazy. I had to get a copy of it and watch the Yeti, who I was really looking forward to watch, which would make one person. Damn, I was a moron in thinking of the Yeti was going to be something good in wrestling. Anyway, MMA question for you, John. When I go or on one of my teammates goes to fight on an MMA event here in Denmark, it's ourselves who spend the money to drive or take the train to the place. How is it in the UFC and Strikeforce? Does the UFC fighters based in Europe ask for them being on European UFC shows instead of having to pay a lot more to travel to being on the US shows? Anyway, if you want to see a funny movie, try and watch a British movie called Four Lions, which is about four dumb terrorists in the UK. Very funny take on a serious subject. Take care, guys. UFC, for sure, they're flying guys in.
Yeah.
You get, like, your trans covered and then, like, your cornerman.
Yes. I think it's, like, the fighter plus one. Is
yeah, it's not, like, some infinite number where you can just bring an entourage or something
one or two,
like that.
I don't know. But,
I would imagine at least two or three, because that's how many cornermen you're allowed, and you have to have them. Mm-hmm. So that's how it works for the major organizations. But, yeah, when you're talking about smaller organizations, I mean, they can't cover the travel of everybody. A lot of it is just, hey, if you can get here, you're putting yourself in a position where we can put you on a card for you to get paid. Otherwise, I'm going to use some local guys who are right around here.
Because it makes no difference anyway. But obviously, Strikeforce and UFC don't have that problem. Abaz Blaze Wally. I just finished watching this week's WWE Raw. On the Raw edition after Survivor Series, you guys mentioned that there were a lot of teasers going on, but the trigger wasn't pulled even once. I fucking hate them for doing the same thing again. I was certain that Sheamus would become the King of the Ring. When Miz mentioned Triple H, and they showed Triple H on the past King of the Ring winners video, and Ted DiBiase was playing with the belt playing Triple H's song, I totally expected Triple H to come out and attack Sheamus. What the fuck?
Well, personally, I think, I don't know why you would waste Triple H coming back in December. I talked about this on Review of Raw. Like, even if he comes back this Monday, we have a two-week build for his first match back on a pay-per-view that's going to die.
Sure.
I would just wait till January when football's done and build him up to come back at the Rumble or something.
It definitely does seem like they are subtly building
his
return.
Things, yeah.
But I have no problems with them spending more than 1 week to do it.
Yeah, I mean, why throw out Hunter unannounced on Raw at the end in there?
It's not, and the show already had enough. He didn't need
Yeah,
Twitch.
Absolutely. Scott Thompson, really like
it. It would have been like Kurt Angle coming back after a retirement in the middle of a show
and
with
then disappearing
three other heel
for three
turns.
Weeks. Yeah. Have you seen the Genesis poster?
I have not.
It's Kurt Angle on it, where the tagline is Kurt Angle is back and he's bringing hell with him.
Okay.
Great leak. Scott Thompson, really liking CM Punk on commentary. I think it's a nice addition and love how he knew the history of the King of the Ring in his comment about being a wrestler, and he was corrected and called a superstar. I like how he doesn't really take sides when Cole and Lawler get in arguments. He had the best expression last night, Monday night, when Cole stepped up to the GM's podium and asked for our attention. Anyone else want to punch Cole in the throat?
Yes. No, actually. I'm really liking Michael Cole at this point. I think he's a very effective heel.
I'll be pissed if they have him and Lawler just like nothing happened tomorrow on Raw.
Biggest fan. Hey, guys, I just listened to your review of Raw podcast. Great show per usual. CM Punk has been a breath of fresh air, but sometimes comes off like he's trying too hard. Also, I Think We're Alone Now, which was sung by Santino on Raw last night, was originally a big hit for Tommy James and the Shondells in 1967, long before Tiffany recorded her version. I look forward to the 1994 King of the Ring review and your collective thoughts on Art Donovan's nonstop boobery. Keep up the good work, my brothers.
Andy Gordon. Hey, John and Wade, could you guys please review the TNA Impact from November the 2nd, 2007? It featured a great promo from Team 3D on Mothers and Ding Dongs.
Nope.
What a random request. While watching Raw this past week, I have a few problems. Why the fuck is Cole getting into matches and helping The Miz? CM Punk should have helped Lawler when Cole interfered. And last, why is Del Rio still feuding with Rey? Let's move on and get Del Rio the push he deserves. I don't know, working with Rey, you could be doing worse.
Yeah, I haven't been watching SmackDown, so I can't really comment. Ultimush Gazdar. Hey, John and Wade, just got done listening to your Raw review. Great job as always. As a person who plays the guitar, I can tell you that Tamina was actually playing the ukulele, albeit with a ridiculously basic strum and chords. Santino, on the other hand, was strumming randomly.
Andrew D. Reese. Hey, guys, I completely agree with John concerning John Cena returning to Raw to get revenge. He should be fired and banned from the building, not just showing up when he wants. Despite all the shit TNA gives us all year since January 4th, I believe this is the worst angle of the year.
No.
Just an insult to any wrestling fan. P.S. I hate Michael Cole's involvement with Miz's title run. It just makes him look stupid, winning his first title match over Jerry Lawler in a TLC match with the help of Michael freaking Cole.
I think there have been much worse. This is far from the worst angle. It's John Cena's firing, and they've gotten a lot of great reactions.
I thought the TLC match came off pretty well. I didn't think it made Miz look weak at all.
No, and it actually ended up working perfectly for the believability that this guy, the 60-year-old man, could have won the title. Jermone Jackson, great review on World War III, guys. I wanted to go to the Norfolk Scope to see it so bad, but in retrospect, I'm glad I didn't. I remember WCW hyping the match with the line, three rings, three giants. Unfortunately, the Yeti, who was one of the three giants, was thrown out mere minutes into the match before the camera cut to three screens.
Well, that was for the better. And finally, Jack Pisco. Hey, John and Way, these three-hour Raws are killing me. Even with the PVR, it was difficult to get through this week. I will say that the main event with the King and Miz was way better than I expected. Hopefully the outcome of the match will result in a change of commentators. King can go to SmackDown, exiling Grisham to NXT, while Cole and Punk hold down Raw. No more three-man teams calling matches. King Sheamus is all right with me, so if he wants to talk like he's doing theater in Stratford, Ontario, cheap pop, then why not? I look forward to his soliloquies before Hunter buries him. Well, thank you, everybody, for the feedback. There's quite a lot of it this week, and that wraps us up for another week here on Review Away and Looking Ahead Way to next week. We are now into the month of December, and it's always a fun month as Christmas approaches.
Is it a fun month?
Sure it is.
Okay.
You know, and I was thinking about what to review this week, and so often I get questions from people about WCW and, you know, what was it that killed WCW? And, you know, you can look at all these different events and all these different acquisitions and bookers and storylines, but realistically, for the Reader's Digest version, I feel you can look at Starrcade from 1997 until the final one, and each year you can just see the progress of this company and where it just imploded and ultimately died. So I thought next week we would look at the high point, that being Starrcade 97, which for a year and a half was built towards Hogan and Sting. And this was their big payoff match. And at this point in time was their most purchased pay-per-view in their history. Hmm. So next week we'll take a look at Starrcade 97. I can tell you that when I was 13, this pay-per-view was like, I was so looking forward to this show. It was like the biggest event of the year.
Cool. Nice.
So we'll do 97. And then maybe we can look at some other Starrcades before the end of the year of where things did not go so well.
Okay. We can go from 97 till the very end.
There's not too many after 97.
No, not really.
Anyway, on our way out here, Way, what tunes are you listening to? What do you want to leave the listeners with here?
I didn't really pick anything, but let's go out with what Biggest Fan informed us was originally a hit by Tommy James and the Shondells in 1967.
Going old here.
Yes.
The Shondells.
With I Think We're Alone Now, the original singers of that hit.
Which would be immortalized by
Santino Marella.
Yes.
Children behave. That's what they say when we're together. And watch how you play. They don't understand. And so we're running just as fast as we can. If they ever